Welcome back to What One Thing, a Smart Meetings podcast that provides you with a shortcut to the top of the events world by asking successful people what made the difference in their careers and lives. I'm JT Long, Vice President and Content Director of Smart Meetings, and this conversation could be the start of a whole new joyful life. I am so excited to welcome Robin Shear. She's the author, speaker, and energy behind Joy to the World Coaching. Welcome, Robin.
Hi, JT. So glad to be with you.
Oh, we're going to have fun because we're going to talk about what really matters, right?
You better believe it. I'd say I'm happy to be here, but I'm overjoyed to be here.
Very nice. Well, we want to get to understand how you got to be so joyful. What role did growing up in a small town play in that?
I grew up in a small town. We had about 120 kids in our class. And I think that it was wonderful to know so many people so well. I think that connection is a rich source of joy. And we have this hunger to be known. And believe me, we knew each other. We knew each other's parents, grandparents, dogs and cats. So it was wonderful. But having said that, you know, I've lived here my whole life. And I'm so excited to meet people who don't live here, who are different than I am and that the people in my town are. So there's where the whole idea behind Joy to the World Coaching came from.
Nice. And really, the meetings industry is a small community, right? We all know and support each other and move from place to place. And it's a great place to find joy.
I really appreciate that. You're right. I think without the people in our corner, we would be nowhere. And it is very relationship driven. So I think we all appreciate that.
We have done a lot of podcasts about kind of understanding each other, our teams, our audiences. And I think one way to get to know people is to ask them, what brings you joy? Robin, What brings you joy?
Thanks for asking, JT. The list is really long. It includes things like relationships. It includes things like nature and my faith and being spontaneous and learning new things. But it's things that aren't dependent on the circumstances because we know, sadly, something could come in and wipe out the things that make us happy. So it's important to dig into things that are lasting. So that's the biggest difference. What brings joy to you? I've got to ask.
Oh my goodness. Well, Yiming knows it is my little grandbabies. It is going to events, being around people energizes me. It is where I find my life and my inspiration. And I just love my team. We have the best team here at Smart Meetings. So coming to work and of course, my very supportive husband who lets me do all of this and makes sure that things keep running back at the house when I'm traveling all over.
Oh, good. Nice long list.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, you touched a little bit on how joy has to be independent of circumstances. What is it that people get wrong about pursuing and experiencing joy?
The people that I work with tend to think of it as fluffy. They think that it doesn't have real impact. And so they put it off. And I want people to know that it is foundational. It bleeds into all other areas of life. And you don't have to wait until the mess is cleaned up at all. You can have it now, even when life is imperfect. You hate your job. You're going through a divorce. Mix it into the mess now. Let it help you with those circumstances.
That is very wise because it can actually be restorative, right? If you approach the things that are giving you trouble, then with joy, then maybe you can better fix those things.
And that's so true, JT. And you know, so often we can find joy in the messes themselves. I mean, I think most of us can remember a situation that we didn't love, but because of that situation, something good happened. There was a silver lining. There was a joy mixed into the mess. And so I'm trying to help people to put that lens on and view life from that perspective so that it can bring them purpose and bring them perseverance when times are tough. And then they don't think they've got to have life in order before joy can be possible.
The must have it before you start thing is probably a non-starter, right?
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. So one of the questions that I hear is, can joy be planned? What is the role of spontaneity in joy?
Joy can be planned, and I find great joy in spontaneity. However, not everyone does, and that's the beauty of joy because it is so individual. So if you and I were to list off our top 20, they're not going to be the same, and you may love spontaneity, but you know, a lot of folks in my audiences are neurodivergent, and spontaneity is really scary for some people, rightfully so. So I can't assume that it's going to bring joy to everybody. I don't know that anything truly does, but personally speaking, I light up from an inner place when I can be spontaneous. It shows up in the rest of my day. People know something has happened. And it's such a source of joy for me that I have a whole keynote around it. And I tell all these stories of all these crazy spontaneous things that I've done by myself, or I've kind of roped unsuspecting people into, and the impact that those choices have on the rest of our week. And some of those things are, you know, things that take 10 seconds. Like going around a traffic circle 3 times on purpose, just because the person in the passenger seat will freak out, like, right? That is so much fun and spontaneous. Don't ride with me. But then some of these things take longer. Like one of the stories that I tell, my son and I have a real heart for deep dish pizza. And one day we were home alone and I said, hey, do you want to get some deep dish? And he said, yeah. And I said, let's go. So we grabbed our music, we jumped in the car, and we drove to our favorite place for deep dish pizza, which is Chicago. And you should know that I live 5 hours from Chicago. And so we had lunch at Giordano's, we ran around town, and then we drove home that night. And we spent 10 hours just for that 1 hour of joy. But it was an investment in relationship, and it has paid off in dividends. We talk about that trip all the time, and I think it was back in 2018. It lasts.
That is a great example of joy being a journey. And if people yes. aren't feeling joy, that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with them. And it no. also doesn't mean that you can just say, just be joyful, right?
Like, nope. If it were that yeah. easy, we would all do it. That's why we have joy coaches. That's why we have help. Yeah. If it were easy, we would just do it. But there are steps that you can take. And so it really begins with awareness. You know, you asked me what brings joy. That's a great place for people to start, because if we have a list and we really dig into it, we'll find that list begins to grow because we're thinking about it. And then we start adding that stuff to life without even trying. And that's when it gets to be more of a natural. So start with a list.
I'm going to take a little detour here. So a number of years ago, I was turning 50 and I did a okay. list of 50 new things to do in 50 days before I turned 50.
I love
it
so much.
So now, I know, this year I turned 59, ooh. And so I'm thinking I want to do 60 things, but not in 60 days. That part wasn't very fun, but in a 1 year, so, yeah, that was what I learned from that process. But the other wow. thing that I learned is that making the list was the most powerful part of it. The doing there it was go. Fun. I got all my friends to come help me, and my son is an economist. He has a master's in quantitative economics, and so he told me that I used accounting tricks to get some of them. And it's true, right? Like some of the stuff I would have done anyway. I read 5 new books, go to 5 restaurants. I would do that in a 50-day period. So what advice do you have for people maybe putting together lists? Maybe it's not a bucket list, but lists yeah. of things that might make them happy, and how to make it a project that brings happiness in itself.
Oh, so great. I have so many answers for that. But to keep it in a reasonable time frame, let me just say that in January on LinkedIn, I posted about this. And the idea that I put out there was, if you identify when your birthday is, and you every night between the day that you read the post and your birthday want to give yourself a joyful birthday gift, at the end of each day, just think about the best part of your day. Don't overthink it. You don't have to do a whole lot of digging. Just that one thing. What comes to mind? Write that down. That's it. You're done. The next day, same thing. Best part of your day. What pops up? And what you end up doing is you create this habit of looking for the good. And there's joy in it, my friend. Like, you cannot help but find joy when you are focused on that one thing. And then what ends up happening by the time your birthday rolls around, unless your birthday is in a couple of weeks, you've got a great habit in place. And you won't want to stop on your birthday, but you have just spent maybe 6 months focusing on joy. That list affects you and the people that you plan events for. It affects your family, whoever you do life with. So that is one thing that I would say. Have you ever done that before? And when's your birthday?
My birthday's this summer. So okay. I right around 4th of July. So it's always
you
like they're doing fireworks for me. Yeah. I those habits are powerful. I love that. Sometimes, so our community is meeting professionals, one of the most stressful jobs that are in the world. And they can have habits like that, which are powerful. But when they're in the moment and you've got all these things going on, what advice do you have for finding, if not joy, a peaceful place to work from?
That's such a good question. You're right. Event planners make the list of the most stressful jobs every year, especially since the pandemic. We have got to focus on the fact that these folks bring joy to others, but so often neglect their own needs. And what I like to tell people who are super busy and have a super long to-do list, it's easy to stop and just check in that moment and give yourself a score, a feel-good score, 1 to 10. Just real quick, make it an easy win. What's my feel-good score? If it's a 5 or less, what can I do about it right then and there? Something easy that matters to me. Now, if they've heard this podcast and they started making that list, they've got an easy place to go, right? They can just check their phone, pick something doable, but sometimes that's not possible. And so it's just good to think about little things. You said the word breathe. And so often we forget that just a big, deep breath can be a very cleansing, peaceful experience. And when we allow that to happen in those craziest moments, we do have coping skills that suddenly pop out of nowhere. So the joy, the peace, the coping, they all go together. But it starts with checking in. So, you know, what number would I give myself right now? If it's an 8, I'm good. Okay, I'm going to keep going. But checking in on a regular basis, a feel-good score. And if it's below 5, do something quick in the moment.
That's such good advice. Thank you for
that.
Easy
wins.
So the program is called What One Thing, because we got smart people like you to come on and tell us what is the one thing that made all the difference in your life, in your career, and what can our community learn from that, and how can they adopt that in their lives?
This is always my favorite part of your show. It's so fun to hear what people have said. And my answer is probably different, but it's trusting that I had something unique enough that I should offer it in the first place. And here's where that comes from. So joy for me is pretty natural. That's just who I have been born as, for the most part. There are days I have to choose it, but the thing is, I didn't set out to do this professionally and never thought I'm going to stand in front of 500 people and teach them how to have joy when life sucks. But I looked back on all the stuff I did get to do professionally, and it was always in one way or another about helping people to have joy. And the time came right before the pandemic that it occurred to me, wow, I've got this thing and I'm really not using it fully as a standalone thing that people need. It was just kind of built into the other things I was doing. And I thought, gosh, what if I went into coaching? What if I went into speaking and made that the message? Who would ever take that serious? Like, would people even want that? So I kind of wrestled with it because I didn't believe myself that it was valid, that it was useful. But after a couple of months of this idea, it just wouldn't go away. And I thought, okay, that's there for a reason. I'm going to try. And wouldn't you know, within a couple of months, JT, the pandemic hit. Mm. And suddenly the world was looking for joy. And I was already geared up to share this thing. And I was on fire. I felt like a horse behind the gate at the Kentucky Derby, you know, just like, let me out, open the gate, let me at him. And so it all kind of went from there. And so now I'm on a mission. I want to be with as many people as possible, because I've seen in the last few years how the people in my audiences or coaching or whatever are sharing it. And that's when it gets really good. You know, happiness is cool for me, but joy is contagious for us, and we need that. And so when someone comes up to me and says, wow, your message on burnout 2 years ago changed my relationship with my daughter, that's when I know that this thing that I didn't know had value has value. So I would say, really dig into what makes you unique and see how you can use that to benefit the lives of other people, you might be really surprised.
And you had to have the confidence in yourself to take that step.
You're right. And that took me a little while, but I'm here now and I'm not going anywhere.
We're so glad. We are so glad. Well, thank you for coming on and sharing your one thing with the Smart Meetings community. We love our audience, and I want to thank all of them for taking this time. I know you're super, super busy to be with us and to think about how to grow together. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, JT. I'll see you at Smart Woman Summit.
Smart Meetings What One Thing was produced by Bright Business Media. Visit smartmeetings.com to subscribe to your daily dose of inspiration.